So how do we discern what deserves our love and affection and what doesn't? How do we keep the river of love flowing between the banks, as Chuck Swindoll just said, using the forces of truth and discernment to channel its energy? Today on Insight for Living, Chuck continues our study in 1 John. It's a series called Living Right in a Wrong World. We've come to a serious passage in John's book, beginning in chapter 4, where we're challenged to sharpen our skills of discernment. Chuck titled today's message, Distinguishing Truth from Error.
God's Word is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It is able to pierce beyond the soul and spirit into the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Because of that, we bow before the authority of the Word each time we gather. At each class we teach, and certainly whenever our worship turns our attention to this time, it is God's Word that is more important than any human opinion, any media message, any counsel from some authority. God's Word alone is inspired of God. The Word is God-breathed. So it's with respect we handle God's Word, and it's with an intentional sense of passion that we teach it and believe it. Turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 4, not the Gospel of John, but his letter. He wrote three of them, and this is the first of the three. And we're looking at the fourth chapter. That's over toward the end of the New Testament. If you're not familiar with your Bible, it's understandable. You wouldn't know about the little letter of 1 John, often overlooked. 1 John chapter 4, and with others around you, may we stand together for the reading of God's inerrant Word. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Serious words we take seriously today. You may be seated.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Distinguishing Truth from Error.
Some statements in the Scriptures are haunting. Matter of fact, if we take them seriously, I mean really seriously, there's enough about them to keep us awake through the night. They warn us of impending trouble and alarmingly difficult times. Jesus himself made these statements. You will be hated by all nations because of my name. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold. False Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance, Matthew 24. And again, Jesus said, they will make you outcasts, but an hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think they are doing God a service. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. In the world you will have tribulation. John 16. The Apostle Paul, at the zenith of his ministry, while writing to his longtime friend and companion, Timothy, warned, the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy 4. And then very near the edge of his last hours on the planet, Paul took the time in the dungeon in Rome to write his friend once again. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. I'm often asked, what's happening? What's happening in this old world of ours? What's happening at the churches? What's happening in religion? I have a quick and simple answer. It doesn't solve the problem, but it is the answer. What is happening is exactly what was predicted. Exactly. Peter himself said, don't be surprised at the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. 1 Peter chapter 4. Haunting words. So when they kill in the name of their God, he told us it would happen. And when they come to get us, we need to be ready. Haunting words, serious words. Eugene Peterson, in his rendering of the Bible titled The Message, handles Paul's words to Timothy out of the second letter. You're going to find that there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They will turn their backs on truth and will chase after mirages. I've lived long enough to watch a frightening erosion occurring. The church I entered back in the 50s, seriously entered, and in with ministry in mind in the 60s, is not the same church as today's church in the 21st century. The church is now market-driven, a strange mixture of corporate America, silly skits, show business techniques that have replaced the systematic teaching of the Word of God. There are exceptions, but that's the tragedy. They are exceptions, not the rule. Instead of solid meat based on sound doctrine, the world of entertainment has invaded the ranks of the house of worship. A consumer mentality is now acceptable substitute for theological thinking and biblical understanding. Biblically ignorant individuals gather to hear what they want to hear. Back to Paul's words, to have their ears tickled. It seems that some pastors today will stop at nothing to entertain their audiences, not congregations, audiences. I've just finished reading a magnificent book by David Wells titled The Courage to be Protestant. In a chapter titled Christianity for Sale, he writes, "It is Easter morning, 2006, and there lurking in the shadows is a figure rarely seen in church. It's Superman. Yes, Superman. He who leaps tall buildings in a single bound as he pursues evildoers. No, wait a minute. It's not him. Actually, it's only the senior pastor. The senior pastor, all decked out as Superman, ready to communicate the gospel to a new generation. Superman, you see, is a Christ figure, quote unquote, a Christ figure, who is peculiarly adapted to conveying the Christian message to generations raised on Sesame Street cartoons and superhero action figures. So on this day, the pastor was poised to begin his instruction in a new series on how to leap over discouragement, how to overcome doubts, defeat odds, and rise from the ashes as Superman had on many occasions. Spiritual feats of this magnitude seem much more likely, wouldn't you agree, when prompted by the sight of a resplendent Superman in his red tights and regalia?" Some of you are trying to picture me in red tights and regalia coming in. Please. This is a video-crazed, image-driven, picture-conscious culture, Dr. Wells writes. Not a literate one. Our minds are entirely inert, lifeless, and useless until prodded into action by the sight of something eye-popping. Images are the fuel that, when injected into the motor, kick it all into life. Without them, our minds are as limp as deflated balloons. Well, that at least is the theory invoked by those who want to do stunts like this. Is this an anecdote plucked from an obscure part of the evangelical vineyard in America? He asks. Did it really happen? Is it so bizarre as to be unrepresentative? This incident actually happened in a church that received a Rick Warren Award for Church of the Year. Besides, this opting of showbiz, still reading, this opting of showbiz, this transformation of Christianity into entertainment is rapidly becoming the norm today, not the exception. Pastors are straining to outdo each other in becoming as chic and slick as any show in Las Vegas. Now, a little disclaimer here. I love Rick Warren. I've known Rick for years. Rick was in my class when I was preaching at Talbot Seminary years ago. Sharp, bright, very competent young man. Still very keen. God's using him. This is not about Rick Warren. This is about what's happening in the church today. Listen to me, men and women. This is about being set up for all kinds of eroding experiences rather than being riveted to the truth of God that holds us responsible. No matter what you may be told, what bothers me is the tasteless re-imaging of holy things. Repeat. What bothers me is the tasteless re-imaging of holy things. No matter what you may be told, what we're seeing is the deliberate dumbing down of historic Christianity into a shallow level to keep the people coming and to keep the entertainment going. That's why screens dance with activity. That's why you never have a break for silence. Keep the show going. It's all about the show, or they won't be coming. After all, it's a television age. We need to appeal to what they're used to. Their attention spans are just short 15, maybe 10 minute segments, and then they need a commercial. Really? Who's they? How insulting to you who think, who have brains, who love Jesus deeply and want to grow in him, who have a respect for his word that can hardly be put into terms. Worst of all, it dulls the edge of discernment. It fuels the appetite for gullibility. Gullibility. If you question that, look at the size of churches that entertain. They're often massive, which means nothing. Size means nothing. As Junior used to say in Hee Haw, if it meant something, a cow could outrun a rabbit. Size don't mean nothing. Don't ever be impressed by size. Believe it or not, it is that erosion which concerned the Apostle John in the first century. Amazing, huh? I found myself this week saying, John, if I could possibly bring you back, I'd like to introduce you to what you described. I'd like you to see it in spades. Click, click, click. The passage we're looking at calls a spade a spade. John is not interested in winning friends and influencing people. He's not concerned about making you feel good, thank God. He's concerned about communicating the truth. If the truth helps you feel great, wonderful. But if you need to hear what you want to hear, you're moving in the wrong direction and erosion is already happening. We bow before the authority of the word and we meet immediately two commands. The first is negative and the second is positive. I provided you with an outline that you can follow. They are serious commands we are to obey. Please observe the first one very briefly. Do not believe every spirit. Oh, wait, I missed a word. Beloved. Beloved, what does that mean? It's written to believers. If you don't know Christ, what I'm going to be saying will be nonsense to you. It will be, as Paul used the word, moronic. I mean, I'll sound like a dinosaur. I'll be so irrelevant and out of touch, you'll think, boy, Chuck, get into the 21st century. I'm in it. I live in it. I read, beloved, for believers, do not believe every spirit. In fact, it's called a present imperative. Stop believing every spirit. So some to whom John wrote were already believing them. Whatever came down the pike, yeah, that sounds great. Whatever the preacher said, yeah, that sounds good. This visiting itinerant prophet would come in, yeah, that's good. Have you heard it? He's got a voice like 1,000 Niagara Falls. This guy is incredible. Let me listen to him. Wait, don't believe every spirit. John has already talked about love, and he said love needs to be discriminate. You're to love God with your whole heart. You're to love one another, absolutely. In the family of God, absolutely. But you're not to love everything. Charles Ryrie was right when he said love is like a river, and it flows between the banks of truth and discernment. However, when it floods and leaves those banks, it becomes a dangerous thing. Your love must be discerning. You can't give your love to the world. He has a whole section on don't love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, meaning love must be discriminate. Well, if love must be discriminate, so must faith. So don't believe every spirit. We have an everyday saying that says, don't believe everything you see or hear. Remember the teacher who used to say, put your thinking cap on. My mom or my dad used to say, look before you leap. Don't believe everything you hear. Think of it this way. Everyone who is teaching is a mouthpiece for either truth or error. Every individual represents the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. When you speak for the spirit of truth, you are representing the living God. When you speak error, you are representing the adversary himself. Everyone who teaches is either representing truth or error, so don't believe every spirit.
Nothing unclear about this straightforward advice coming from John's book. You're listening to Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living. We're talking about distinguishing truth from error. Now, please don't go away. We've set aside several minutes to hear more teaching from Chuck. In just a moment, we'll hear this second command from this passage in 1 John chapter 4. And to learn more about this ministry, be sure to visit us online at insightworld.org. Even though this teaching series was originally delivered years ago, Chuck specifically wanted to present this study in 1 John right now. It shows the timeless relevance of God's Word. These biblical principles provide the cure for a culture that's at war with itself, where rage and anger seem to be overshadowing the underlying threat of the global pandemic. These are troubling times. In that spirit, I'll point you to a mini-series by Chuck Swindoll that addresses a relevant subject. As Christians, we're called to rise above the fray as agents of God's mercy and compassion. Well, Chuck's two-part series is called Loving One Another. It specifically addresses the call of the local church to become all God intended. To purchase a copy of these CDs or MP3s right now, go to insight.org/offer. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Perhaps it goes without saying that the coronavirus has imposed financial challenges on us all, including this nonprofit ministry, and we're asking every listener to participate by giving a generous gift. To support this ministry with a donation, give us a call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888, or you can give online at insight.org. And then finally, as we enter the weekend, remember, you're invited to join the online worship service at Stonebriar Community Church every Sunday morning. For all the details on streaming the video, go to insight.org/Sundays. Well, the first command from today's passage was this, don't believe every spirit. And now, once again, here's Chuck Swindoll.
Here's the second command. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. You know what this calls for? I call it the moment. And I think of a Doberman pincher. If you have a Doberman pincher, you don't even need an illustration, but those of us who don't, maybe do. I've never seen a lazy Doberman pincher. Yawning, sounds in the night, oh, I'm not gonna worry with that. Man, I got a full tummy and I'm not gonna get up. Light goes by, I'm not gonna, well, good night, who cares, lots of traffic on this road. You know what Dobermans do? Their ears, their eyes, they will look through steel. We got a call one night years ago, Insight for Living had been vandalized, and they called us, and we went down there middle of the night, and the officers were there with canines. I always loved that, to watch this work, because I love hunting, and I love hounds, and so he happened to have a Doberman. And this room was dark, okay, it's 2 in the morning, And there's somebody in there, but you can't see him because it's dark. This Doberman is like, and all he needs is go. And he, boom, is in that room like a lightning. I say, is he afraid of anything? He says, no, he's a Doberman. Cop tells me that. No, he's a Doberman. And I hear, I'm thinking, oh Lord, right now, that turned into, why? Because he discerned a problem. Test the spirits. Test the spirits. See if it's truth. Don't go by crowds. Don't go by titles. Don't go by letters after names. Don't go by beauty of the robe. Don't go by the collar. Don't go by name or tradition. Don't go by any of that. Go by the book. The book, the Word of God, is what he's saying true to the Word. It is the Word of God that guides us. Don't believe it because I said it. Believe it because it can be backed up in the Scriptures. So when you listen, just all on your own, go, okay? Watch those little ears perk up. Why? It's called discerning. You're testing the Spirit to see if it's truth or error. Why do I urge you to be testing the Spirit? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world.
On Monday's program, Chuck Swindoll continues his message about distinguishing truth from error, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Distinguishing Truth from Error, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.